But today, this morning, I want to share with you about someone who's very special in the Bible. Her name is Sarah. Her faith, her family. She was a woman of faith, family, and the future. So let's bow our heads and our hearts in prayer. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you for your great love and grace and tender mercies. And Lord, you created Adam and Eve, and you brought them together in your wonderful love, and thus creating a little precious babies, cakeys, took place. And Lord, throughout the human race, here we are. And you love us so much. You're our Father. And Jesus, you're our Lord, our Savior. And you died for us to give us a brand new life and to give us eternal life and to give us an abundant life. So Lord, may your hand of blessing be upon all your people and especially all the precious moms today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Let me give you some background about the life of Sarah, then we'll dive into various passages throughout the Bible from Genesis to 1 Peter to Hebrews and learn about this beautiful life of Sarah, her faith, her family, and her future. Sarah was the wife of Abraham, the mother of Isaac, one child. Sarah's name was originally Sarai, but it was changed to Sarah by God. Much as her husband's name was also changed from Abram to Abraham. It comes a point in time in all of our lives that God just deeply, richly touches us, and it's a brand new life that we experience in him. And he leads our lives. He is truly the God of our life, and we have stepped off that throne and allowed him to take over. It's a beautiful thing. She was 10 years younger than Abraham. Sarah was his half-sister. They had the same father, but different mothers, according to Genesis chapter 20, verse 12. Sarah was about 65 years old when she and Abraham left Haran, passing through Egypt. Abraham introduced Sarah as his sister, apparently to keep himself from being killed by those who would be attracted by Sarah's beauty. In spite of God's promise to Abraham that he would become the father of a chosen nation, Sarah remained barren. Truly, she is a woman of many experiences in life. When she was 75 years old, she decided that the only way to realize God's promise was to present Abraham her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar, by whom he could father a child. Hagar bore a son named Ishmael. I don't recommend that, ladies. It caused nothing but trouble with this couple. We must depend upon God and his promises as he leads us in life. When Sarah was 90 years old, far beyond her childbearing years, she gave birth to a son, Isaac, the child of promise. After Isaac was born, Sarah caught Ishmael mocking the young child, and with God's approval, sent both Ishmael and Hagar into the wilderness. The age of 127, Sarah died at Kirjath Arba, or Hebron, and was buried by Abraham in the cave of Machpelah. Sarah is the only woman in the Bible, whose age was recorded at death, a sign of her great importance to the early Hebrews. The prophet Isaiah declared Abraham and Sarah as the father and mother of the Hebrew people. It says, "Look to Abraham, your father, and Sarah, who bore you." So that is a brief synopsis of the life of Sarah. And you throw in Abraham, of course. But in her life, there was Abraham, her husband, leading the charge as God had called Abraham to leave his people, to leave his country, and go to a new land. As well as to believe that God was going to provide through him and his wife a lineage that would lead to the Messiah of the Jews and the Savior of the world. But that's hard to believe when you get so old and you never become pregnant. How tough that is. I've known many ladies in the body of Christ who desire to have children and they're unable to have a child. It's a very, very, very difficult time throughout their life. We pray for them. We lift them to the Lord. Some I've seen where they become pregnant and have a child, and others I've seen where they remain barren for life. I've seen some that have involved themselves in the children's ministry to meet that need in their life, to bless children, to teach children, to train children in the ways of the Lord, which is a beautiful thing. Others have adopted children, maybe become a foster parent. So there's a variety of ways of which they have partaken of having children involved in their lives. Children are a great blessing from the Lord, amen? Oh, they're a lot of work, they're a lot of fun, they're a lot of trials, and they're a lot of blessings. So those teenage years get a little rough at times, but we train them up in the ways of the Lord. That's what God has called us to do. I found it interesting that on two occasions, Sarah, following her husband Abraham, Abraham had certain lapses of faith, just like Sarah did, like all of us do. I love the humanity of the Bible. We don't read about a bunch of perfect people. We don't read about a bunch of just absolutely righteous people. We read about sinners saved by the grace of God and people who have lapses of faith, but yet God picks us up again when we fall. He brushes us off and he carries us through. It's okay to fail with God. It's okay to falter in your faith. It's okay to have lapses. But may I just say to you, keep coming back to God through Jesus Christ. Don't give up and don't give in to this world, to the devil, or to anyone else. On one of those occasions we briefly read about was when Sarah was given over. They're in their married life, and Sarah was given over. It says here, on two occasions, Abraham placed Sarah in an adulterous or potentially adulterous situation to save his own life. I have to pause here and say, guys, the Bible says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Abraham was learning that, but the problem with Abraham was he was afraid. His fears, his selfishness, his own personal ways tended to override what he should have been doing, which was always seeking God. There are many things in life that we as men will face. The question is, will I trust God with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding? In all my ways will I acknowledge him, and he will direct my path, my steps. The only way to be that man of God for all of us, gentlemen, speaking to myself, is that we're men of the Word. The more you are in the Word of God, it's like working out. The more you exercise your faith through the Word of God, the stronger you become. Abraham wasn't there, and it's okay. He had to grow in his faith. Two occasions, Abraham placed Sarah in an adulterous or potentially adulterous situation to save his own life. The account of Abraham and Sarah migrated to Egypt to escape famine in Canaan. But Abraham believed himself to be in mortal danger there because of Sarah's exceptional beauty. He persuaded Sarah to identify herself as his sister rather than as his wife so that Pharaoh would not kill him when he took Sarah as his own wife. The Lord intervened, however, plaguing Sarah's household so that Pharaoh discovered the deception and expelled Abraham and Sarah from Egypt. One thing about God, he is always faithful. There's a passage in Timothy that says, even if you are faithless, God will be faithful. Isn't that nice to know? He didn't say, you loser, I'm done with you. I quit on you. No, even when you reach a point of maybe you're faithless, it's like you're exhausted, you don't see any hope whatsoever, God will come through because he loves you, he created you, he died for you, he saved you, and he's going to take care of you forever. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? What a beautiful promise. Even in our mistakes. In chapter 20, we recount a similar incident involving Abimelech, the king of Gerar. It reveals that Abraham and Sarah had made the same half-truth that she was his sister, which was their consistent strategy for survival wherever they traveled. You think you learned the first time, amen? Why don't you just, when you face another situation, just, let's turn to God, let's trust God, he's going to fix this for us. Yet God intervened to protect Sarah so that no adultery actually occurred, because King Abimelech took Sarah into his harem, and you know what that means. And it says that God rescued Sarah by warning Abimelech in a dream. On both occasions, Abraham and Sarah used deception to save Abraham's life at the cost of destroying their family. Only God's action restored the family and preserved them for the promises of land, descendants, and blessings. In other words, when God makes a promise, he's going to follow it through. He doesn't go back on his promises. He promised to take care of Abraham and Sarah. And they're going to have a child. He has his hand upon this man and upon this woman. Also added in this commentary, Sarah's barrenness was a deep personal tragedy. In the ancient Near East, it was essential that women produce male offspring in order to perpetuate the family. And the childlessness was the greatest misfortune that could befall a woman and her family. In Sarah's case, this personal and family tragedy was also a theological dilemma. God had promised Abraham innumerable descendants who would possess the land of Canaan, that promised land, and be a blessing among the nations. All the nations will be blessed through Abraham and Sarah. Sarah's barrenness prevented the fulfillment of these promises. Without a child, God's election of Abraham would miscarry. Acknowledging that God had kept her from conceiving, we know the story that Sarah gave her personal servant Hagar to Abraham as a second wife. According to widespread ancient Near Eastern custom, any children born to Hagar and Abraham could be counted as Sarah's own offspring. But Hagar's subsequent pregnancy did not bring joy to Sarah. Hagar, proud of her fertility, that's quite a word, proud of her fertility, Hagar behaved contemptuously toward her barren mistress. And Sarah brought the case to Abraham for judgment. Had Abraham chosen to declare Hagar under his own protection, she would have continued to stand between himself and Sarah. But Abraham confirmed Sarah's authority over her servant. Sarah exercised this power by oppressing Hagar so harshly that she ultimately fled. God commanded Sarah to return to her mistress and to submit to her. But he also promised that Hagar's expected son would make Hagar herself the ancestress of a multitude. Genesis 16:9. Sarah's plan to build a family by means of Hagar had failed. Every single one of us make decisions that we think, maybe this is the way. Why is God taking so long? And we take matters into our own hands. And oops, I did it again. We mess everything up. But God does not give up on us. God does not quit on us. He continues to work through us in spite of us. Now, yes, we do reap what we sow. There are consequences to our decisions. So we must be careful. As God declares a promise to us through his word in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we must closely pay attention. It's always good to seek godly counsel if you're concerned if you're making the right decision. Godly counsel will come from those who are mature in the Word of God, and could be from a pastor, and you go into the Word and you pray and you recognize, yes, that is of the Lord, so let's just continue to wait on that promise of God for your life. It's important for us to realize that God never quits on us. He is always faithful. So these are some of the trials I wanted to bring to your attention in regards to Abraham and Sarah. Because every single one of our marriages, we go through trials, do we not? I've not met a perfect marriage yet. If you got one, come preach up here tomorrow, next Sunday. But I've not met one yet. We go through our various trials and decision-making and our frailties and our faltering faith, and we let each other down in life and in marriage and family. But the key to our Christian life is that we turn to God, we repent from our mistakes, we admit them, and then we ask God to help us. The beautiful thing is God will always be there to help us. Let's look into Mama Sarah's faith features for life. I've got 3 points for you. Mama Sarah's 3 faith features. Faith feature number 1. Sarah's faith is fun. I hope and pray that each and every one of us, and especially you ladies, you enjoy your Christian life. You enjoy your relationship with your Heavenly Father and your Lord Jesus Christ. That it is a fun-filled, enjoyable life that you are living with your husband, with your children. If you're a single mom, God bless you. You got double duty. And we pray for you because that is a rough, rough load to carry. But God is with you. Amen. Surround yourself with wonderful other sisters and friends that can help you and support you in the church. So let's look at faith feature number 1. Sarah's faith is fun. Sarah, the miracle mom. Go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 17. We've given you some insight, some out of sight. Let's not get uptight. Amen. All right. Another cup of coffee, please. Genesis chapter 17. Let's just pick up the story here regarding God's promise to Abraham and then Sarah regarding this child to be born, which is named Isaac. Then God said to Abraham, verse 15 of chapter 17 of Genesis, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face, and what did he do? He laughed. You mean I can laugh with God? Of course. He made laughter. Fruit of the Spirit is joy. Amen. So he says, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. What are you talking about, God? There's too much pressure on me, man. I don't know what he's thinking, but he's just like, there's no way. Are you serious? Then God said, no. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, which means he laughs. Isn't God cool? God wants us to have great relationships in our marriages and in our families. He wants your homes to be filled with laughter. This is the man who's known as the friend of God. He's the father of faith. Isn't that amazing? And this faith that he has in God, and God has chosen him, given this faith, is to then be passed down to all of us. And God wants us to laugh in life. Enjoy life. He says this, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. Go to chapter 18. Let's dig into verses 1 to 15. We're not going to talk about Ishmael. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, 3 men were standing by him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, If I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet. Rest yourselves under the tree and I'll bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by, and as much as you have come to your servant, they said, do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. Yes, Lord. Someone's calling. And Abraham hurried into the tent and said to Sarah, quickly, make ready their measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. One thing I see about this couple is this. Hospitality. Very hospitable people. You come to their house, come on in. We'll feed you. We'll take care of you. Now, what ultimately we realize is this. These are two angels who have come and taken on human bodies as men. And the third, many believe, is what's known as a Christophany. It is the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And they speak to Abraham. Ultimately, the two angels will continue on to Sodom and Gomorrah to rescue Lot. But let's continue our story here regards Abraham and Sarah. So they sat down, prepared a meal, they ate. Then in verse 9, then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. So the angels, they talked to Abraham and said, your wife is going to have a child. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And she said, no, but you did. But he said, but no, but you did laugh. Then the men rose from there and they looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on their way. We won't go into that story. But here's this interesting situation. At this point in time, Sarah laughs in doubt. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. Are you serious? I'm 90 years old. I'm going to be pregnant. And what is everybody going to think and say, you know? And you know what? Abraham doesn't work anymore. They didn't have the commercials we have today. But anyway, is that constant or what? My wife says it's payback for all those other commercials the women had to endure. But anyway, if you don't know what I'm talking about, God bless you. Anyway. All right. But Sarah's name, of course, is changed from Sarai, which is to see, to princess, or also known as noble lady. So it's beautiful. Abraham's name went from Abram to Abraham, exalted father to father of a multitude, and so forth. So here she laughs in doubt. You know, it's like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. This is crazy. If I could paraphrase a little bit. I don't know how you say that in Hebrew. But anyway, here Sarah is 90 years old, and she's going to give birth to this one named Isaac, which means laughter. God knew the reaction of everybody in advance. Isn't that amazing? You're going to call his name. God has the name already picked. God knows that Abraham's going to laugh. God knows that Sarah's going to laugh. And yet he's going to fulfill his promise. Because he's a God of joy. He wants to bring joy to this precious family. He made a promise. But he waits because it has to be a miraculous promise. Because this promise is pointing to God's only son to be born of a virgin conceived by the Holy Spirit. This is a miraculous conception between Abraham and Sarah, as there was a miraculous conception in the Virgin Mary. All these things are previews of the Messiah to come, as God doesn't want us to make a mistake on our Savior. We find ourselves next in the book of Genesis, chapter 21. Join with me. Chapter 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son, who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Laughter. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. So she also said, who would have said to Abraham and Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son of his in his old age. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. So here you have this incredibly, this marvelous miracle, this incredible event of Isaac being born, this beautiful name that's given to Isaac, and here's this constant joy within their hearts. And when we talk to people about this, we're all going to laugh. I think this is so vitally important in the day we live, because today we have so many stresses and pressures in life. Would you not say? It's not easy to make a living, especially here in Hawaii, and to have a home and take care of the kids, and everybody's working so hard. Mom's working, dad's working, running the kids here, running the kids there, taking them to soccer practice and school, and not in that order, but anyway, you know what I'm saying. And you know, or it's Little League, or it could be baseball, softball, whatever it might be, basketball, volleyball. What else we got going on around here? Surfing, okay? Ballerina, whatever. Gymnastics. I mean, it goes on and on. And you're trying to raise your children in just a beautiful environment and the ways of the Lord and to have fun and to get them to enjoy life. And you do enjoy life as a family. And so many times you get home at night and you're just flat out exhausted. And sometimes the stresses and the pressures and the exhaustion, you just don't have that laughter in the home. So it is my prayer that each and every one of us return to the basics of life. That with the marriage and with the children, we would have fun, we would have enjoyment, we would have a lot of laughter in the home. Amen. One lady wrote a poem and she said the following. Dear Lord, it's such a hectic day with little time to stop and pray. For life's been anything but calm since you called on me to be a mom. Running errands, matching socks, building dreams and with building blocks, cooking, cleaning, and finding shoes and other stuff that children lose, fitting lids on bottled bugs, wiping tears and giving hugs, a stack of last week's mail to read, so where's the quiet time I need? Yep, when I steal a minute, Lord, just at the sink or ironing board, to ask the blessings of your grace, I see then in my small one's face that you have blessed me all the while, and I stop to kiss the precious smile. She's got it. She's got it. This lady's got it. It is life. And you ladies do so much for us husbands. God bless you. And for the precious children. And gentlemen, I pray that we will lighten their load each and every day. I'm still rhyming. Let's keep going. Anyway. That's what I say. But anyway, stop it already. Okay. I don't know, it just comes in my brain. But anyway, my mother had to put up with me. But anyway, the first feature, faith feature of Sarah's life is her faith is fun. Abraham's faith is fun. Their child is fun. Let's have fun. We go to faith feature number two. Sarah's faith is full of love. Amen? This is what we learn about her life. Oh, it's a tough life. You saw all the things she went through. My goodness, the traveling, the being given over to Pharaoh and King Abimelech and the trials and not having a kid. And then you, Hagar, you got to take Hagar. And she's probably going, oh, I can't believe I'm doing this. Anyway, and yet through it all, through all these years, she's a woman of love. Love for her husband and family. I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, because Sarah's name is actually mentioned some 38 times throughout the entire Bible. Very prominent person within the scriptures. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we find her name mentioned once again. It's an interesting passage. It's really dealing with those who are wives of men who are not doing the right thing. And that's not an easy task, to be that wife and to be that mom when your husband is not really doing the right stuff. I pray that won't be us, but if it is you, let's stop it already. Let's do the right stuff. Amen? He says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear or reverence, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. In other words, stop yelling and screaming at your husband and your kids. You can discipline them, but don't yell and scream. Don't go crazy, okay? And then he says this, for in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. One thing we realize in this passage is that we are told regarding Sarah, she gave us a very wonderful, loving example. She trusted God, she had spiritual beauty, and she loved her husband. In fact, to break it down a little bit further, Sarah's faith is one of, the Bible says she was submissive. What does that mean? Well, she wasn't going to compete with her husband on who's in charge. Doesn't mean she can't correct her husband, cannot share with her husband, but she wasn't going to demean her husband. She wasn't going to disrespect her husband. She wasn't going to put him down, especially in front of the children. But she was going to come under him to complete him, as God said to Eve in the Garden of Eden there in Genesis when he made her, that she was to be a suitable helper for her husband. She come alongside and she completes her husband. My wife completes me. I know that. I am incomplete. I'm missing a rib and part of my brain. But anyway, she has insight and an emotional intuition in things that I don't generally have as a man. We are made different. There is no doubt about it. I'm a man on a mission. And sometimes I'm so focused, I can just forget about things and people and so forth because we're on a mission. She has a way of pulling the reins on me and settling me down. There was times in our life when I was young, because I'm such a A-driven type personality, not to excuse myself, that's just how I look at life, that she had to say, Daryl, you need to stop because you're running really hard with the Lord and you're leaving me and Josh behind. And I don't know what to think about that because, you know what, wait a minute, I'm doing a work for God. Yes, I was doing a work for God, but I wasn't doing a worship of God. That worship of God creates love, unity, family. And thus I recognized I needed to stop and pause and stop doing all these things for the Lord and focus in on my beautiful wife that God had given me and to be there for my son. And later, my daughter, my beautiful daughter, Cammy. So we find here, the Bible says, wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. The next thing we find is that the ladies are to have this, which they observe through your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. This chaste conduct, just having that constant conduct of love and caring and compassion that you ladies have. This is the example that's laid down before us in the life of Sarah. He even says in verse 3, Peter says, by the Holy Spirit, do not let your adornment be merely that outward arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Now, there's nothing wrong with looking nice. We appreciate you ladies looking nice. That's a wonderful thing. Now, if you're not looking nice, we still say we love you, dear. And good Lord, it's morning. But anyway, and you may look at us and go, good Lord, it's morning. But here we have this chaste conduct, and it's a beautiful thing. And then it says having this beautiful heart. Let it be the hidden person of the heart. This heart of this heart of gold, if you will, this heart of love, this heart of caring, this heart of compassion, this heart that's always there. My wife does a lot of very special things for me and for the family. And so many times you ladies can really go through these events, if you will, not all the time, but maybe unappreciated. You ever felt that way? I do this and I do that. I made the special meal and nobody said anything. Are you kidding me? You know? They can fix it themselves. I'm out of here. yeah. Gentlemen, children, I know they're on the children's ministry. If you can hear me, always be grateful for all that your wife does. Compliment her, encourage her, bless her. When I do counseling where there's a marriage in trouble, you know what I found most of the time, gentlemen? The lady feels like, your wife feels like, she's not appreciated. She's just become the mother of your kids, the house cleaner, and the cook. And the moment you start really appreciating her and loving her, doing special things for her, everything's going to blossom. So vitally important for us as men to do that. To honor our wives, to bless our wives. Let's continue on. We find here a good heart, and then it says that Sarah had a gentle and quiet spirit. She wasn't yelling and screaming, so let's not go too far into that. And she also trusted God. Even though all these things that went on, she trusted the God that had spoken to her husband, Abraham. She trusted God personally. She had a personal relationship with her God. It's a beautiful thing. So this is Sarah's faith, which is full of love. She was this woman who honored the Lord. The Bible says there, in verse 5, for in this manner in former times, the holy women who trusted in God and also adorned themselves being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. And then he adds to that, he says, husbands likewise, Dwell with them with understanding. Dwell with your wife with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. I love what it says there. He who would love life. May we all love life. May we love one another in our marriages. May we bless one another. May we serve one another. May we be there for each other. And may we be there for our children, because they are watching all the time. Don't tell me about your Christian faith. Show me your Christian faith. I want to see it, Dad, how you love Mom. I want to see it, Mom, how you love Dad. I want to experience it from you. This is the love of Jesus Christ. This is the love of God. This is not exhortation. This is encouragement that we all stay focused, amen, on what God's doing. Finally, I want to go to faith feature number 3. Sarah's faith is full of hope. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, back up in your New Testament. This is known as the roll call of faith. We end here. We find Sarah once again. I want to just jump up to verse 8 because it includes Abraham and Sarah. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. But God was truly leading him. That's cool. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He's looking forward to heaven. By faith, Sarah. Here is Sarah listed in these heroes of faith. She's a heroine of faith. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She judged God faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was old, was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, for whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. I bring this to our attention because both Abraham and Sarah, as a married couple, with one son, one only son, Isaac, believed God, trusted God, that one day they would be going to heaven forever. And yet God told them that Abraham was to take his son and sacrifice him. And as God spoke to Abraham, and you know the story because I've shared it many times, once again, the previews of the Messiah to come, miraculous conception between Abraham and Sarah. His body was dead, not functioning sexually. Can I say that? And God performed the miracle where all was well. And then you have Isaac born, as well as with Sarah's womb. And then now he's 30 years old, Isaac is. And Abraham is 130. He's an old, frail man. And God says, I want you to take your son to Mount Moriah. I want you to sacrifice him to me. Surely Sarah knew. Sarah, I'm leaving. I'm going to sacrifice Isaac. What? Have you lost your mind? Have you gotten senile? God has spoken. I know he'll provide the way. He's made a promise that through our lineage, we'll have a multitude as the stars of the sky. So we trust the Lord. Amen? Yes, Abraham. You don't see Sarah grabbing Abraham, you dumb old man, you know. No. Carry on. The Lord has spoken. His word is true. We can have faith. She had faith in the future. This was her life, her walk with God. We know the story. Abraham, in his mind, my son is dead. Then it was a 3 days journey because God had told him to sacrifice his son on Mount Moriah. And as he raised up his knife to kill his son willingly went up on this rock, on this altar, and he raised up his knife. The son laid there, all of them trusting in God. You see the influence? Parents who trusted in God, this son is trusting in God. God, I will be obedient. You have spoken. I will be on this altar of sacrifice. Seeing his father raise up the knife to kill him, to sacrifice him. He didn't get up and punch his dad out. But he willingly went. And then God says, stop. Ram in the thicket. Take it. Sacrifice it. Isaac off the altar. This speaks of the death, the crucifixion, and 3 days later, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. So in Abraham and Sarah, we see this prophetic picture telling the future of the Messiah to come through the lineage of Abraham and Sarah through Isaac, who brought laughter to the home of which the Lord Jesus Christ brings joy to our hearts each and every day and forever and ever and ever. And all God's people said. Amen. Ladies, please stand. All you moms, please stand, rather. All you moms, all the moms, please stand. Moms, grandmas, great-grandmas. And also, if you're a lady who has not been able to get pregnant, you want to get pregnant, you stand too. Let's pray for you right now. The Bible, there's a poem, it's called A Mother's Day Poem. There's no love like a mother's. Her heart is filled with care with Christ as her example. Her Savior's love she'll share. A mother's love is endless, not changing for all time. When needed by her children, a mother's love will shine. God bless these special mothers. God bless them, everyone, for all their tears and heartaches and special work they've done. When days on earth are over, a mother's love lives on through many generations, God's blessings on each one. Be thankful for our mothers who love with higher love from power God has given and strength from up above. Let's pray for you right now. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for your glorious, beautiful, incredible creation of man and woman and how they come together and get to participate in creating life through one of the most joyful experiences of life. And then a little child is born, a little baby girl or a baby boy is born, or maybe twins. And Lord, we just thank you. There's no greater miracle than watching the birth of a child. To be there when I saw my son Josh born and then my daughter Cammy born. The glorious miracle of life. And then the adventure of being a parent, being a mom, being a dad. So, Father, we pray that your hand of blessing will be upon these precious ladies as they give so much each and every day and all through life. for each and every one of us. May you anoint them and bless them and provide for them. May you fill them with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. May you bless all these precious moms mightily and abundantly. For ladies who have not been able to be pregnant, they're barren right now, and Lord, we pray for them. We don't understand all things. You do. But they have stood to their feet, and they desire to have children. So, Lord, may you just show them the way. May you hear their bodies if it's needed to be, and may you just do a great mighty work in them and through them. So, Lord, we celebrate this special day of all these precious ladies, all these mothers. May you bless mightily and abundantly. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.